Let us pray.
Almighty God, who on this day taught the way of eternal life to every race and nation by the promised gift of your Holy Spirit, shed abroad this gift throughout the world by the preaching of the gospel, that it may reach the ends of the earth through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Last week, my oldest son's second birthday happened. So naturally, he was bombarded with a lot of birthday gifts by his family. But I think his favorite gift was the mega block car that he received from his uncle. And when his mom helped him open this particular gift, he exclaimed, "Oh, wow!" There was a huge amount of excitement written across his face. Now, usually when we receive birthday gifts, they are for our personal use. But I pondered, if my son was going to share some of his new toys with his little brother, who so desperately wants to be like him. At first, Jonathan was hesitant, pulling away with his toys as if to say, "Mine." In fact, I think I heard him say that once or twice throughout the week. Yet over the course of the week, I witnessed him begin to share his new gifts with his little brother, and I was quite pleased. Because sharing is caring. Of course, he still has his moments now and then, but his viewpoint changed within a time span of a couple of days. He let his gifts be used for his brother's benefit. Now, if he would just stop sharing his food with the dogs, I would be really, really happy. Well, today is Pentecost Sunday, where we celebrate the birthday of the church. It is the day where the people of God receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so they certainly didn't do anything to earn this gift, this incredible gift. They didn't deserve it. It's all a work of God, all a work of His grace and His unfailing love, which was promised long, long ago. But the Spirit is poured out onto thirsty hearts, and the church is born. The Spirit is given to a community of people, a diverse body of individuals. He is not just given to the apostles or other leaders, but the entirety of the faith community. And so the Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered people gives testimony that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God's new reality has broken into our world already. So God breathed onto His people, the Holy Spirit, and birthed something altogether new, the church. And those who profess that Jesus Christ is Lord and who have been sealed in Christ through the waters of baptism now have God's Holy Spirit living within them. When this happens, it's really like a birthday. We become a new creation. We are reborn to a living hope. And we receive spiritual gifts. But these gifts are meant to be shared for the common good of God's people. Not to be hoarded away and not to be exploited. Regarding spiritual gifts, sharing is caring. So that we can help one another. But what happens when a church forgets this? Well, they end up looking like the church at Corinth. Here was a community of believers that were really into spiritual gifts and the Holy Spirit. But they had forgotten that the gifts they were given were to help one another. Some people were saying that they were more important than others because of their gifts, which is ludicrous. But nonetheless, this was what was going on. So the Apostle Paul, the church planter of this church, has to correct them. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. The same Spirit is at work in all parts, and all the parts, with all their unique gifts, are to help one another for the common good. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. One of the
Top five most embarrassing moments of my life came my first year of college at TCU. I had been in choir my entire life. I'd even won All-State in high school, but for some strange reason, I signed up for jazz band. And the thing was, although I was a decent pianist, and I could play in a variety of styles, I had never played jazz before, ever. So, first day of class, I walk into the band hall, and I was completely caught off guard when my very first day, everyone was auditioning for different bands. And, very quickly, I panicked. I made a complete and utter fool of myself, and I tried to make something out with the keys, but it was awful. Well, you may have guessed it. I was put in the lowest jazz band. None of us were really that great, but as the semester went on, the brass portion of the band began to become very cocky as they developed their gifts and their talents. And their attitudes began to change. And the woodwinds and the percussion began to feel like we were being treated as second class. And because at the time I was majoring in musical composition, and because my mind works this way, I can see the parts and the whole. And although the brass section boasted that they were so much superior than the rest of us, they were not helping the band out at all. Altogether, we were very discombobulated. In other words, we didn't sound good. They forgot that we were one group, that we were one band consisting of several different sections. Well, in God's family, everyone is different. And this is something to celebrate. We don't want replicas of one another. You certainly wouldn't want a church full of Scott Seeleys. Just imagine how messed up that would be. A completely bald church. Well, we all have different gifts, but they come from a common source, God. Paul writes, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. There is a Trinitarian understanding going on here, if you didn't notice. N.T. Wright comments, at the very moment when Paul's wanting to say that the various gifts that different Christians have are to be seen within the unity which is God Himself. He expresses that unity in three closely related ways: Spirit, Lord, and God. To use the jazz band illustration again, we all might have different parts, but we follow the same band director. There may be various gifts, various services, and various activities, but there is one common source, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. Amen?
Amen.
And we are to share our different and various gifts for the common good of the body. After all, sharing is caring. But of course, this implies that each of us has a spiritual gift to share within the body. Paul says that each of us is given a gift. Listen to what he says. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Now, some of you may be thinking, I have no clue what my gift is. How then can I share it? Well, that's a great and honest question that many people ask. And Paul gives us a list of some of the gifts in our passage today. And this is not by any means an exhaustive list, but it is helpful. And there are a couple other lists in the New Testament in which Paul expands on what we find in our passage today. But I think it helpful to at least examine the ones that we've read about this morning. These gifts are what John Stott calls God's grace in action. And the first one we see is the utterance of wisdom. Now what is this? This is where a word is given in a confused situation or circumstance. It will bring a new light and clarity. It will give another angle not fathomed. Perhaps you can think of a time when a Christian brother or sister said something that was like this, and it was like, aha! Wow! Where did that come from? That was amazing. Well, to another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. This is what we call a word of knowledge. Jesus showed this in John 4 with the woman at the well. He knew things about her. He knew that she had had several husbands, and that the dude she was with at the time was not her husband. Peter showed this in the book of Acts when a couple lied to him in the community. He knew that they were not being honest. For the local congregation, this gift can be used in a variety of ways, from prayer and intercession to healing to evangelism and discipleship. In other words, this gift is helpful. Well, the same Spirit gives great faith to another. And here we're not talking about saving faith that every Christian has in Jesus Christ. This gift is where a brother or sister in Christ looks through the current impossible situation and holds firm to the character of God, believing that God can make the impossible possible. If you take a look at Hebrews 11, you can see the type of faith that I'm talking about with the saints. And of course, Jesus' entire ministry illustrated this kind of faith. It's helpful in the local congregation because every local church has unique challenges. And we need people in the body that can look at the impossible and say, you know what? God's character, nothing is impossible. God can make the impossible possible. This is the kind of faith that we're talking about. Well, the list goes on. To someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. To one person, He gives the power to perform miracles. To another, the ability to prophesy, meaning to encourage and to build up the people of God by speaking God's truth to them. When I was in seminary, I was in a very dark, dark place. Not just literally because it was Pittsburgh, but like spiritually as well. And I really needed someone to speak the Word of God to me, to pick me up out of the spiritual malaise that I was in. And this wonderful man came and he spoke the Word of God to me. And he spoke the Word of God to me in the presence of a couple of sisters in Christ. And after he spoke the Word of God to me, to build me up and encourage me, the sisters in Christ beside me said, you know what, Scott? That word is true. That word is true for you. And it changed me. I was in a state of depression, and I was picked up out of it. It was amazing. This is what prophecy is. It's meant to build up people, to edify them, to encourage them by speaking God's truth to them. This is God's grace in action. Sharing is caring. So the gifts are given to help one another, is what I'm saying. But there's more. The Spirit gives someone else the ability to discern whether or not a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. So what on earth is this? And why would it be helpful? Well, because sometimes people say stuff that doesn't come from God. Sometimes people say stuff that doesn't come from God. Sometimes messages come from either the human spirit or evil spirits. And this particular gift could include, as John Stott highlights, the ability to discern the presence and the nature of evil spirits in a person, a place, or a situation. And oftentimes this gift is really important, and I haven't seen it in use in a lot of congregations that I've been a part of. Because oftentimes people will say, well, I heard from the Lord. And, you know, what I heard was this. Great. But that doesn't mean that we're going to do whatever you said because it has to be confirmed by the entire community. Because sometimes when we say we've heard from God, we really have to do checks and balances with the community because oftentimes it can be our own human spirit which claims things or, you know, and things like that. So there has to be a test within the local community. So this is a useful, useful gift. It's completely obvious why. Well, finally, we get to the gift of tongues. Tongues, tongues, tongues. This reminds me of a story I love to tell. There was a youth, and some other guys were praying for him to receive this particular gift. And the youth pastor was telling the teenager that if he started to say a few syllables, then it becomes easier. So with the other guys gathered around him praying, the youth starts to say, fa-fa-fa-fa-fa, food. Right. It will be in another language, responded the youth minister. So the guy started to pray around the kid once more. And once again, the youth started to say some syllables. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, burrito! By this point, it was quite obvious the kid was hungry. Give this guy some food. The gift of speaking in tongues or another language has oftentimes been abused by people in the church. In fact, the Corinthians were actually abusing it. But this gift is important because it's used in prayer and intercession and worship. And sometimes when you don't know what to pray, it's really, really helpful to have this gift. And sometimes when you are praying for a person's healing, it's great to have this gift to help you pray. And if you receive the gift to interpret a tongue, then anyone should see why that's helpful. For you are translating what is foreign into what is not, in order that what is being spoken can be understood by everyone. So these gifts are God's grace in action. They are to be used to help each other. They must be shared. Sharing is caring. The body of Christ has many different parts, and every one of them is important. Some of the Corinthians had a very proud and haughty attitude and were looking down on others as less spiritual. Well, because I have this gift, I am the bomb, and you're not. Right? That was the kind of attitude that was going on. Some thought, because we have this particular gift, we are more spiritual than you. So they were basically saying that some people were first class and some were second. Well, see, the Apostle Paul corrects them. We have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share in the same Spirit. If you've had a part of your body missing or unable to work properly, trust me, you would know its absence. Or it's an inability to function. Hey, where did my arm go? Why is it not working right? In other words, Paul is saying we are linked together and everyone has a unique part to play within the body of Christ. Well, several verses down he writes, if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. You see, we are connected. We are linked and joined together. Not everyone has the same gift, but we have a common source, the Spirit of the living God. Not everyone has the same gift, but we have a common good to build one another up. So we belong to one another because we are one body. And at the head of this body is Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're not given these gifts to boast in ourselves. Sometimes we might find that we're given a gift and it's for life. Sometimes we might find that we're given a gift and it's for a particular time and a particular place and a particular situation. But these gifts are to be shared in love because they were given in love. And love is the greatest way of life, as Paul reminds us in chapter 13, that passage that is oftentimes used at weddings. But it's abundantly clear he's writing to a messed up church, a completely messed up church that needs to remember that they are to love one another. And that they are one in body and one in spirit. And that in the end, it's not about gifts, but about loving each other, about caring for each other, about helping one another. In other words, about being the body of Christ. So these gifts of the Spirit, when used in love to the helping of others, our testimony that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is what the church is. The church reveals that Jesus Christ is Lord to the world. And we can be given a gift, but not open it. We can be given a gift, but be possessive of it. It's mine. We can be given a gift and become proud and arrogant. I'm better than you. But in God's economy, when we are given a gift, we are meant to share it for the common good of our brothers and our sisters in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Because sharing is caring. Let us pray. O God, who on this day taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending to them the light of your Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy comfort through the merits of Christ Jesus our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the same Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen.